Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, unfortunately, I think we have to start on a bit of a down note today.
A bit of a down note?
A major league down note. Some very unfortunate news breaking in the hockey community today with a major catastrophe for the KHL and their players and the hockey community at large, dude.
Yeah, the Locomotive team, which is a KHL team, was on a plane taking off to go to Minsk, which is the capital of Belarus, and the plane crashed shortly after takeoff. And at least the reports that I've seen so far today is that all but two aboard were killed.
Right.
Which included several former NHL players. And unfortunately, which cuts, you know, close to home, it's bad enough, you know, this tragedy, but a Sharks draftee, Daniel Savchenko, was also among the players killed. So it's just been a horrible day. I've been reading Puck Daddy all day and other articles, and I think someone said or commented that this is the darkest day in a hockey history, and I think I have to agree with that. I mean, this is just a terrible tragedy. Pavel Dimitra, you know, certainly among the biggest names. He was probably maybe the best player. Karl Rychunek, Ruslan Soleil, Carlos Skrashtin. I mean, the list goes. Alexander Karpatsev, for those of you who might be Rangers fans.
Brad McKimmon.
McKimmon was the coach, played for the Flyers, among other teams. So it's just an absolutely horrible happenstance. I mean, it you know, harkens back to unfortunate other team tragedies that have occurred throughout history. You know, the Marshall situation, the thing that happened with Cal Poly in the late 60s. It's just a terrible thing. This is certainly probably the worst thing ever to happen to hockey, and unfortunately it caps off a summertime that has already been horribly stained by other tragedies, with NHL players dying, Wade Belak, Derek Bugard, Rick Rippon, and we had the Sharks own Tom Cavanaugh, or one-time Shark Tom Cavanaugh, taking his own life earlier this year. So this has been, in the grand scheme of things, the worst year ever,
right?
For the hockey community at large, dude. I mean, what do you even think about when something like this happens?
You think about the families, of the people who passed away today. I think you think about that above anything else, just extremely tragic.
I know several of the guys had young kids. I mean, geez,
it's a devastating accident. Dude, I haven't been completely up to date on the latest. I know that there was some talk earlier today where, speculation of what is going to happen basically when you're involved in a situation where the entire team,
right, coaching staff, trainers,
has literally been wiped out in one incident, dude. We can't even begin to speculate how the families will personally move on.
Yeah.
But in terms of a hockey standpoint, if you're the KHL, what do you do here?
Well, it's funny because Puck Daddy had an article to that effect as well. And apparently, strangely enough, or, with the foresight maybe that such a situation might require, the NHL does have a situation or a plan in place should something like that happen to an NHL team, which is, they would essentially conduct an expansion draft, and each team would be able to protect a certain number of players. And the team that was hit by the tragedy would then be able to draft up to one player from each of the other teams that were made available. So, of course the KHL, they said, of course we don't know what we're going to do. And, it's an impossible situation to have to deal with. I mean, I assume in the short term, the KHL season is supposed to start, in a couple of days. I would think that most of Locomotive's games would be, indefinitely postponed, and maybe they might try and do something similar to what the NHL would do if such a terrible thing happened. That's all I can think of, because it wouldn't really be fair to the franchise to just have to cobble together a team of players that are still available on the free market, because you would think that team would just be, you know, unfortunately, it would be terrible in comparison to all the other teams in the league.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see in the next few days how the KHL decides to proceed with this, if they're going to delay the season, how they will deal with the franchise itself. Will they eliminate the franchise for the season?
Right.
You know, I'm not sure if that's not the best course of action, you know.
It might be.
Although, how does that help that team's fans and the community that embrace that team grieve themselves? I mean, is it easier to come together and continue on, or is it easier to just let it go for now? What would be more painful? I don't even know.
That's something for that community and those fans, right, and the league to determine on their own. But, you know, it can't be overestimated how much of a shockwave this has sent through the whole community, because not only are those players and those families and those communities are affected, but every team in the NHL is affected by this. I mean, just, you know, we talked about the Sharks losing a prospect. Of course, the Sharks now have Martin Havlat, who is friends with many of those guys. I mean, there are, you know, friends and teammates on every single NHL franchise.
Sure.
I mean, every single NHL franchise is going to be, you know, horribly affected by this. I mean, you know, there's going to be a grieving process for everyone.
Right.
I think Alexander Ovechkin had a thing today. I mean, he said he's in shock. I'm sure many, you know, Russian players in the NHL are in shock. I'm sure they played with many of those guys. You know, it's just, it can't be overestimated how big of a deal this is. It may seem sort of like, oh, one of those things that happened over there in Russia to our minor league team, but no, that's not what happened. It's really a huge blow to the hockey community at large.
I'm pulling up Todd McClellan's comments today, which I'm trying to find in which Working the Corners post it appeared. He made some interesting comments here about travel. I mean, he says this, and this is a quote: "There are individuals that aren't very comfortable flying, and they get on a plane, no matter how safe it is, nervous every time, and that affects them for 41 games minimum of a year. Then there's others who get on and feel quite comfortable flying. Any of the teams I've been involved with, we have the best equipment, we have the best staffs, we really feel comfortable with what we have, but we don't control everything. But we don't control driving to the rink either, and we don't control a lot of things in our environment." Just kind of, it kind of puts it a little bit in perspective. I mean, it could be, I mean, you could, anything could happen to you at any moment.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
And it's unfortunate that this tragedy struck such a large group of people in this community at the same time.
Right.
You know,
it's just awful.
I think that was maybe his way of saying, you know, embrace every moment you have.
Right. And we don't know what could happen. I mean,
these guys travel so much.
That's right.
And you imagine, I mean, there are people who have a fear of flying. I have family members who've had fear of flying. And if you're a hockey player, you have to get over it, endure
right.
it. And whatever it is they do to get on that plane, they make it happen. You remember in 2010, the Sharks actually were flying through that storm in Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
That actually had a plane crash
That's
involved
right.
in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to imagine for them, that was a pretty frightening moment to be flying through that awful weather. Dude.
Yeah, a scary situation there too. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are loosely connected to the hockey community like we are, or very much a part of it, that are going to be hugging their kids a little bit tighter tonight based on right. something like this. So it's a terrible thing. We're going to try to move on in the podcast, try not to keep this, you know, a massive 30-minute bummer. We're going to be doing some, you know, season previews here later on. But first, we got some,
little housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Yes.
Housekeeping. There was a, you know, we had a bit of a, bone to pick with a Shark Circle blog post last week. We were sent an email about it. Apparently there's a blog post on Shark Circle about it. It's come to our attention that this could be the the person formerly known as Evil Doug. I don't, you know, I have no way of verifying that information.
It smells as such.
It does. It does indeed. And because of that, and for those of you that sort of know the history between us and that individual, you know, I'm not going to, keep this, I'm not going to go into like a massive rebuttal situation. We're just going to sort of leave it as it is. One thing that we definitely did get wrong that I need to acknowledge, I always try to acknowledge our mistakes, is we were very wrong in stating Matt D'Agostini's contract terms. It was $1.6 million, $1.65 million per year. I think we quoted it at over $2 million. So we were totally wrong in that. I'm just going to say quickly that, you know, we did do some research before we recorded the podcast on these players last week, and maybe I didn't spend all day watching game tape, but I did considerably more research before I knew it was this person in anticipation of a longer rebuttal today. But I can say that actually I wouldn't change any of my initial reactions to the no. Sharks should have the quote, you know, should have signing these players or not. So, right. You know, I wouldn't change actually really anything I said.
No, after re-listening, I wouldn't either. And I think some folks should consider that this is entertainment.
Right.
At least we strive for it to be.
That's kind
of
the point.
And we're not a news broadcast. So if you want your news, go somewhere else.
I don't get my paychecks from TSN.
No.
Yet.
Not yet, dude. But you're working up to it.
I'm almost there.
Do we have any other news that relates to the podcast or the hockey community?
Well, fantasy, dude.
Oh, fantasy.
We talked about fantasy last week.
Yes. Well, fantasy invites to returning franchise owners have been sent out, and you'll have the opportunity to renew your franchise before next week's podcast. At that time, those of you who have not renewed your franchise, those spots will be opened up to new players.
Right.
So you should be on the lookout for that. Dude, should we wait a week or should we do it now?
Do what now?
I've sent the email. People have had a few days. I'd say it's probably been 3 days.
Let's wait a week.
We're gonna be charitable.
Because we're not gonna have the draft for another few
That's
weeks.
That's true. The
yet.
Draft is several weeks out. We've got three leagues going. We could always add a fourth if supply and demand dictated it. First league is Dudes on Hockey League. Second league is Dudes on Hockey 2, Burns, Baby Burns.
Okay.
And the third league is Dudes on Hockey 3. Dude looks like Corey Perry. I was quite proud of that one.
Oh, and if you told me that before, I would have pulled the clip.
Dude looks like Corey Perry. And all the passwords are, I think one of them is I hate Patrick Kane.
Dude, you're giving all the information about the leagues now?
Okay. Well, you can't find it. You have to have the league number.
Oh,
okay,
you're
anyways.
Right. You're right.
We'll hold off, but if you are a returning member, please renew your franchise.
Or be prepared to lose your slot.
Or be prepared to lose your slot to those other hungry podcast listeners.
Right, right. Hopefully, we will get enough returnees that we won't have to condense the leagues, because we really do
No, there's already several. Each league, I think, had 14 teams in it, and all of them have between 8 to 10 returning players who've already signed up.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's
so we're in good shape.
All right, so we'll either open a fourth league if we have enough players. I know Tom in the comments was willing maybe to open up another league on top of that. So
outstanding.
All of you chomping at the bit to participate in fantasy leagues with the dudes or with other dudes listeners, your needs will be met.
And with the first pick, I will not select Matt D'Agostini.
I agree. I fully agree with that assessment.
Dude, should we jump into some season previews here?
Yeah, dude.
Seems a little early, but we've got the time, right?
We've got, you know, I've planned out the weeks here.
You've mapped it out?
According to this, you know, my schedule here on my pad, we have 5 weeks of podcasts before the season begins on the 6th of October.
That's
there are six
fantastic
NHL divisions. So today we're going to do two divisions, and then we'll try to do one division every week thereafter, of course culminating with the Pacific Division right before the season begins.
Well, shall we start with the Northeast?
Let's do that.
All right. I'm just going to go down here in the order that they finished last year. We're not necessarily picking this as the order we think they're going to finish in this year.
That's right.
We should announce perhaps our big contest. I don't know if we've done that yet.
I don't know if we've done either. So
this is why we're not ranking our picks right now.
Is because Doug and I have proposed a wager.
Ooh, which a tasty is wager.
Modeled after a good friend of mine who does something similar with college football. What we're going to do is we're going to have a draft, just Doug and I.
On the podcast.
On the podcast, the day or a couple days before the season begins, and we're each going to be drafting an NHL team. The Sharks are not available, so
right.
no one can draft the Sharks. So that means there's going to be one other team unpicked. So there's going to be 14 rounds to the draft. We're each going to have 14 NHL teams. The team that wins the Stanley Cup, the dude that had drafted that team gets a free trip to Las Vegas.
Ooh.
Free trip to Vegas.
The stakes are high and that's delicious. Right.
So not drafting the Oilers or the Senators, I hope I'm not giving too much away here.
No, you've just tipped your hand.
I don't think is going to cramp our style too much, but you know, this could be one of those situations where...
Well, there'll be lots of taunting.
Here's the other quirk of the rule, okay? If the Sharks make the Stanley Cup Finals...
Bet's off.
The bet is off because we do not want to be rooting against the Sharks. Neither one of us will be rooting against the Sharks in the Stanley Cup Finals for any reason.
Sharks make the Stanley Cup playoffs, we go to Vegas anyways.
We're just going to go.
Pay for ourselves.
We'll just go.
It's
and,
a big deal.
You know, we'll go see Carrot Top a few times.
Of course we will.
Carrot Top.
How dare you.
It's done deal.
All right. The Boston Bruins, the returning champions,
yep.
Stanley Cup champions... What do you think about any of the changes or additions they have made this year? Really, dude, the major things are they have lost Mark Recchi to retirement,
mm-hmm.
and Caberle has moved on.
And it's not really much of a change, but Mark Savard has already been announced to be out for the entire season. It looks to be a serious health situation for Mark Savard.
They have also lost Michael Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
Key additions is Mr. Joe Corvo.
Yeah.
And that looks like that's about Benoit Poulet from the hated Montreal Canadiens comes over.
Pouliot. That's Pouliot. He was the trade from the Minnesota Wild. That was the Guillaume Lachandresse deal.
What? Really?
Yeah. So it is Pouliot, but it is Benoit. It's Benoit Pouliot.
I
know. French pronunciation is such a pain. Anyway.
I didn't know that. I thought he signed. Perhaps I'm wrong. We should do our research.
How dare you, sir? What is your problem?
Get the cap number right. What do you think about Boston, dude? They're in good position to repeat?
I think they're in good position to repeat. They had a 7-point lead over Montreal last year. I think Montreal actually got a little bit better. But... yeah, I think Boston's in pretty good shape. They're certainly the odds-on favorite to win the division again. This wasn't a Florida Marlins situation where they dealt everybody or ditched everybody. They're certainly going to be among the contenders for the Eastern Conference title again, barring massive injuries and all that other stuff. So
amazing goalie. You keep the majority of your defense intact. You know, Caberle for Corvo. I mean, based on the contributions from Caberle, you know, for Boston, he's not worth that kind of money.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest surprises. I mean, I like to toot my own horn about this, but it's for the wrong reasons. I said when they got Caberle that they were going to win the East, and they did win the East, but it wasn't because of Caberle.
Right.
So I was right and I was wrong there.
Not a ton of contribution.
And I think they felt the same way, and they sort of let him go. So, you know, I can't fault them for that. I think their success in the playoffs was not largely due to the addition of the high-powered blue liner. Where'd he go? He went to Carolina?
He did. He went to Carolina.
So, so let's Montreal now. Same. What are you looking here in Montreal? They haven't.
Well, they added Eric Cole, you know, which is really the big piece that they added. And they lost Roman Hamrlik. They keep the majority of their blue liners. They lose Wisniewski as well.
That's a big loss.
Yeah. And they replaced him with Jeff Wojtka. So, you know, you've got it going on.
Jeff Roy Whitka's claim to fame?
What?
He was part of the original Pronger trade from St. Louis.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The deal here, you know, is can Andre Markov play a healthy season?
And how much is their power play going to be hurt by the loss of James Wisniewski, who is a really big part of it?
Yeah, I think it will be hurt severely. If Markov is not available to play, that's going to be a big loss. If Markov and Subban are going to be able to play together,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Well, there was a big article, was it in the Hockey News, with Subban and Hal Gill playing together, which is kind of a fun pairing. But,
yeah, that's a good even strength pairing, but you're going to be looking at, you know, those two guys to be together on the power play. I think Montreal is good. They're probably a playoff team. I don't think they're going to challenge the Bruins for the division, do you?
Well, you know, all injuries, you never know. You never know how people turn out. I don't think so, no. I think Montreal is definitely a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
But, and we've seen anything happen in the playoffs. So, you know, they might, you know, catch fire and make a run. But I'd put them, you know, squarely in the playoff picture and maybe on a good day challenging Boston, but I think they're pretty safe where they're at.
It's basically a lock that they play each other in the first round, right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
We'll it's got to go that way.
More Pacioretty versus Chara drama.
Fantastic. The Buffalo Sabres, dude, finished third last year. What do you make of the new owner and all of the moves, dude?
They made a lot of, they generate a lot of publicity with their signings, Christian Ehrhoff being the main one. He's making $10 million this year.
Don't forget the cash cow to Ville Leino and the position shift. They're moving him to center to replace Tim Connolly. So
that's right.
You know, we'll see if that experiment pans out. Also, I think the biggest impact is the trade for Robin Regier. Mm-hmm. I love that move for them.
Yes.
You know, it's unknown.
They took advantage of Calgary.
You don't really know how good Chris Butler is going to be, but he's not Robin Regier right now.
Certainly not.
So you've put a pretty solid defense in front of a guy who's capable of being the best goalie in the league,
mm-hmm.
in Ryan Miller. Do you have enough offense?
But you could say that about Carey Price, and you could say that about Tim Thomas. I mean, this is a division of pretty good goalies so far.
But do you like Buffalo's defense more than Montreal's? Myers, Regier, Ehrhoff, Leopold. Let's see.
I certainly like Montreal's offense better. There's no doubt about that.
Sequeira, Weber.
Not Shea Weber.
Mike Weber.
Mike Weber. Do I like their... With the loss of Wisniewski, I think it gets closer with Ehrhoff because Ehrhoff was a great offensive defenseman for the Vancouver Canucks last year. So he's really going to help them a lot in that regard. So they beefed up the offensive end with Ehrhoff, and they beefed up the defensive end with Regier. I might actually give the nod to Buffalo here, but I would worry
I'm going to worry about goal scoring for
them. I'd be
worried
a little bit about goal scoring, although they did score more goals than Montreal last year. So they didn't do too bad, only one behind Boston, plus 16 overall for the season. So
they're going to be relying on some young players. I never know how to say it. Is it Gerb or Gerby?
I think it's Gerby.
Gerby. We're going to call Nathan Gerby. Yeah. You've got Tyler Ennis. You know, these guys are going to be counted on to be, you know, can Brad Boyce score 30 goals? You know, is Zach Cassian going to make the team? Mm-hmm. You've got some real questions here, but...
A lot of questions at offense, not nearly as many on defense.
The thing that's not a question is that the owner is Mark Cuban-esque, and he's going to be, if it's not working out, like the pieces are going to be flying pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and they may make, that would be the team that, you know, you would expect that maybe they're going to make like some sort of other like really bizarre large move in the middle of the year.
They could.
You know?
Or they could just pull like the Oren Cools deal and like fire, you know, Lindy Ruff 16 games in.
That'd be awful, awfully funny.
Well, we have Toronto and Ottawa left. I don't think there's going to be much movement here. This division looks like it's going to stay pretty much the same in terms of rankings, most likely. You know, Ottawa is just in massive trouble. Mm-hmm. They're in a major rebuilding situation. I know that it seems like they've even pushed their, you know, plans to compete even a year back from last year when they were admittedly terrible. You know, not a whole lot of, you know, they're trying to get draft picks at this point. I think they're trying to just basically shore up some youth and make a run in 3 or 4 years. And right now it's going to be pretty thin times for Ottawa Senators fans here for quite a while.
I don't think that's a bad thing for them. They've got to rebuild. They should, you know, be begging someone to take Sergei Gonchar. What an awful contract for them right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
it just doesn't fit. He's not that bad of a... The contract's not good, right? On a team that is looking to win a cup, that may not be that bad of a contract. But if you have a team that has basically no chance, almost no chance of making the playoffs, carrying a guy of that age and that skill set, frankly, and that dollar amount just makes no sense for the team. It's not really going to help them to do much of anything. They should trade him and see if they can get prospects.
If someone wants Jason Spezza and offers you a good deal, do you do it?
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely, you do it.
Yeah.
Everybody is available, and actually everybody is probably very available.
I'm going to say that Jason Spezza is definitely traded at some point this year.
Wow.
I think that they're going to, and they should do it. Try and cash in on the, Chris Phillips has said he wants to stay. You keep him there as your veteran face. You don't move Daniel Alfredson unless he really wants to go. He's got that sort of Matt Sundin cachet, right? Where, he left Toronto on his own terms.
Mm-hmm.
He went over, made us all wait like a bunch of losers for him to pick Vancouver. What a wiener.
Yeah.
All right. I think Spezza is going to be traded and they'll get a pretty decent return for him. You look at a team, I don't know what the pieces would be, but if you could get Spezza to Calgary, that's a different team.
Oh my God.
Spezza
and Ginla.
That's a different team. There's a lot of teams that could be transformed pretty dramatically by adding that piece. So interesting. I don't think Toronto is that bad.
That's right. I was just about to say the same thing. They have quite a few bright spots, despite the fact that, Dion Phaneuf has taken a lot of heat these last couple years, and now he's in Toronto, so he's under even more scrutiny.
Their D is good.
I like him as a player. I mean, this James Reimer character has been good for them. They haven't expected that to sort of blossom on the back end. Now they have John Michael Lyles. Toronto is not bad. I mean, they really get their act together, they might, for instance, looking at the Atlantic, I don't know so much about the Rangers, maybe Toronto might be a squeaker. They might squeak in. Everybody beats up on Ottawa and gets a bunch of points.
And you can't ever count out Brian Burke for doing something strange.
That's true.
Or trying to make a shaking move. He's made a couple to redo that franchise. So I think maybe he's got one more bullet in that gun somewhere. Maybe they're a player for Spezza,
Mm-hmm.
Might be odd to see them do a deal together. Unlikely, but...
Within the division, that'd be tough.
I don't think Toronto is as bad as maybe people are going to expect.
Certainly not, dude. Let's move to the Southeast. So the finish was Washington, Tampa Bay, Carolina, Atlanta, and Florida. Starting with Washington, I mean, they got better. I think, in my opinion, without a doubt, they got Joel Ward, which is a guy that maybe should have been on the list of guys that Doug Wilson should have signed. And they've got Thomas Vokoun for essentially nothing. They gave the guy a bus pass and a bottomless cup of Slurpees or something, and he came over and started playing for Washington. It's kind of amazing. Thomas Vokoun is a top five goaltender in the NHL.
Right.
At least in my opinion. And I don't understand why he didn't get a lot of money from somebody, because that guy, it's unfortunate he's been sort of buried in these teams that haven't been great. But his numbers have always been amazingly good.
There's going to be a major problem in Washington if they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals this year.
See, what I was about to say is I was going to drop the but in this situation, in this sentence, and that is I still believe that Washington has some problems. Mm-hmm. I still think that, we saw the thing that Matt Bradley said about Alexander Semin offseason, about how sometimes he just doesn't care. And unfortunately, I think they got too many of those guys and not enough.
Hasn't that always been the knock on the Sharks?
the Sharks, definitely they haven't gotten it done. But I wouldn't say they've been plagued by players that don't care. And it seems like, at least to me, it seemed like the Sharks, they have the right pieces, or they seem to have got the right pieces, but they just haven't been able to put it all together.
Right.
To me, it seems like Washington is missing pieces. They don't have a great third line. They seem like they were really missing defensive defensemen last year, which is one of the reasons why I'm a little surprised they let Scott Hannon go. I mean, this, Mike Green, had a bit of an off year. They got a great young kid in John Carlson, but you don't want to be putting your tough defensive minutes in the hands of John Carlson and Mike Green. And they don't really have guys either on, playing forward or on defense, I think that can suck up those minutes in a good fashion. I think Washington still has problems, and if they add Joel Ward, is a step in the right direction, absolutely. But I think they need more than just Joel Ward to make that worth it.
I think I have to disagree, dude. I really think they attempted to push the right buttons by bringing in guys like Troy Brouwer, Joel Ward. I think they did add a guy who could suck up those minutes, and Roman Hamrlick. You got to remember they have Dennis Weidman.
Oh, God, you know, I forgot about that.
I think they're super deep, and I think if they don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, or if they aren't really rolling by midseason, Bruce Boudreau's going to get canned.
Yeah.
You know, this is it, you know, for this group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've thrown it down here. But make it happen. At least show some improvement, right?
Like, I'm sure a lot of people think about the Sharks. You know, show me what you got, and then I'll believe it. And that's sort of how I think of Washington.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right. With Ward and Brouwer, that's a step in the right direction. I've always liked Weidman. If they can make those pieces fit within the team, then, you know, they could do real well. But I got to see it first to believe it.
That's why they play the games.
I suppose so. Tampa Bay?
Eastern Conference finalists last year.
That's right.
What have they changed? Well, sort of famously, Sean Bergenheim has left for literally greener pastures in Florida by embracing a boatload of money. They replace him with Ryan Shannon, a former Ottawa player, and also Tom Pyatt, who's a role player for the Montreal Canadiens. So you're not really seeing any sort of huge shift there, dude. Bruno Gervais comes over. Matt Gilroy, a couple of New York cast-offs. Not a lot of tinkering with the formula here of what got them to the Eastern Conference Finals, right?
Which is probably a good thing. I mean, they have a lot of young kids in Hedman and Stamkos, and, you know, it sucks to lose Bergenheim. You know, he's one of those guys that's sort of like, show me a full season and then we'll believe it kind of situation, too. He had a famously hot playoffs, but you can't say he's really had a monster of other you know, success in the league. You know, it's too bad that this player doesn't get enough kudos, but Marty St. Louis is quietly one of the best 5 or 10 players in the NHL every single year, and he really doesn't get enough credit for it. So I, with Marty St. Louis on my team, I'm stoked. And you got Marty St. Louis and Steven Stamkos and Vince LeCavalier and Victor Hedman.
Right.
I'm super stoked.
Yeah, it's a good mix of players. Can a guy like Teddy Purcell do it again? You know, is Steve Downey going to go AWOL, or is he going to keep his head on straight?
Mm-hmm.
They have some questions there, but I still think Steve Yzerman clearly knows what he's doing.
And they're definitely head and shoulders, in my view, above the other three teams in the Southeast, which are starting with Carolina, who we just mentioned a minute ago, got Thomas Caberle, so that's good for them. That certainly helps. And they added Anthony Stewart. We talked a bit about that last week. So, you know, I think Carolina is trying to do the right thing. I just don't think they have the horses to compete with those top two teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're embarrassing. They're not bad. They're not looking like they don't care. But I just, you know, they just don't have quite enough.
I think how far out did they finish from that last playoff spot, dude?
Let's see here.
The Rangers, 93, Carolina, 91. So they were right on the bubble, dude.
Yep.
The big win for Carolina this offseason was the fact that they were able to keep some of these guys who I thought they were goners for sure. I thought Pekkanen was going to be wearing the red wheel for sure. You know, when Rafalski retired, I thought he would be a Red Wing. You know, he seemed like a natural fit for that. And he took less money to stay in Carolina. They got Chad LaRose to stay. The only guy they couldn't convince to stay is Eric Cole.
Right.
And otherwise, they were able to keep their own players and get Caberle to come over. I think, you know, they're in a good position, in a Toronto position. They're not a legitimate threat here, right?
Not to win the cup, but they could squeak into the playoffs.
Sure, sure.
Seen stranger things happen.
Now, let's get on to Winnipeg, dude.
Yeah. Winnipeg, not so much. I mean, but they're in a rebuilding phase. I hope they have a vision for where they want the team to go, and I hope they're not going to try and pull a schizophrenic job and suddenly have a 10-game hot streak and then suddenly decide they're going to try and make the playoffs.
I just hope they have a good buffet to keep Dustin Byfuglien at bay, because clearly, and they should have margarita bar.
They should.
I think
but
Winnipeg.
But you got to take his keys. Take his keys before he goes.
I think the glimmer off the Winnipeg Jets new jerseys is going to come off pretty quickly.
What do you think about the jersey?
Not a big fan.
Yeah, it's a little bit too plain for me. I was a little bit
It's like the military meets the Maple Leafs.
Yes.
I just didn't really like it that much. But you know what?
I mean, enough detail. Yeah, it's like there's a circle and there's a jet and there's a maple leaf and that's it.
Oh.
Well, sorry. I don't know what that was.
Oh, what is that?
I'm not sure. This is my tweet deck, dude. I'm looking at our Twitter feeds.
It looks like you got tweeted.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Ooh.
Anyway, excuse me. Anyway, so what were we talking about? Oh, Winnipeg. You know, they're going to be where they
I think they're going to take step backwards. You know, I'm not excited about what they've got going on. You know, I think they have new management, new owners. They didn't do anything other than keep most of their players and, you know, bring back out a team that finished pretty far out of the playoffs. So enjoy that, Winnipeg.
Yeah. And Florida's the wild card this year, which is they gained everybody, but at least in our estimation, when it all happened, it all went down, it seemed like they gathered a bunch of third liners or second and third liners.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, dude. I think Florida is going to be a team that no one's going to want to play. They are going to be super annoying.
Right. They're going to be the Phoenix Coyotes of the East.
Yeah, they're going to be super, super annoying. And, you know, who's coaching them?
Oh, man. I feel... Kevin Dineen? No.
Yeah, Kevin Dineen.
Okay.
Okay. That guy's a gritty, you know, third, fourth line guy. He's got a bunch of gritty third, fourth line guys.
Played for the Whale, man.
Yeah. If they're smart, to me, what they will do... Can I say to me again? To me.
To me.
I feel like I've said that like 50 times in the last minute. If they're smart, mm-hmm. these guys will have good seasons, and then Dale Tallon will turn around and sell them. You know? If Bergenheim is killing it, mm-hmm. he's got 20 goals. So like, oh, please, I really would love to have him. Go ahead. It'll cost you a first and your third prospect. Great. Good.
Yeah, take him.
Because they're not, you know, this is a very odd way to rebuild, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Florida does have an extremely highly rated system.
Right.
You know, I think they were in the top three.
Right.
By all major organizations. So the future is bright. They did keep or get a lot of role players. So maybe if they can get some high-end production from their prospects, it's a big if. But
or you get a big year from a guy you wouldn't expect, like Angelo Esposito is pretty good, or, you know.
A big wouldn't expect.
Or even Sean Bergenheim. Could happen.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim Kennedy.
I
think of a guy like Louis Erickson, who I never expected really to take that step to the top line, and he really did with Dallas. I mean, there's nothing to say that one of those guys couldn't figure out a way to do it.
So Jack Skilly, Christopher Stieg, Tomas Kopechki.
Scotty Upshaw.
It's just a funny roster. I mean, it's a very bizarre roster. Like a bunch of third line guys. But Brian Campbell, I mean, it is basically the Blackhawks, but in cooler weather.
Dude,
Keith Seabrook.
Let's go to the Twitter and the email machine, dude.
Awesome.
Because we got a tweet here.
Oh, we got two emails this week.
Oh, we got emails. Okay, you look up the emails, I'll look at the Twitter. So Pete says, considering Savard, Crosby, the fatal offseason, and growing concern of violent hits, is it time to install IIHF rinks? It's a good question. Thanks for the tweet. Interesting. You know, I don't think that while it'll probably the number of hits might go down a little bit if you make the rinks bigger. So IIHF rinks are the international size rinks, which weren't actually used at the Olympics, but they're wider and longer, mm-hmm. I think. So there's more free ice. But the thing is, there's still going to be corner work. And you're still going to see guys' heads bounce off the glass, or you're going to see guys going high and going fast. You know, if you want to solve this headshot problem, you don't make the rinks bigger. You change the rules, and you got to change the culture of the sport a little bit. And Crosby basically said as much today in his press conference. He says, you know, there's not a whole lot of headshots that happen in this sport. You take out just those hits, there's a lot of hits left to go around. So
right.
I believe, you know, I'm with that. So I don't, and plus. The big problem here, Pete, is that if you go to IIHF rinks, that means less seats in the arena, which means less money for the owners, which means
that'll never happen.
Which means that'll never happen.
We got an email here from a girl named Blake.
Okay.
Hi, dudes. This is my first year as a season ticket holder. Welcome.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to the teal and white game and will be skating afterward, but I'm undecided if it's worth asking my boss if I can leave early to make it to the autograph session. Dude, have we ever been to the autograph session, or have you heard anything about it being worth it?
I've never been there because I'm not much of an autograph guy. I don't really...
Well, we like our signed pucks, but I don't think we like to wait in line
to
get them.
I'll just take the mystery puck, you know, give the money to the Sharks Foundation, and I have my Dan Boyle pictures prominently displayed now, dude, as you can see.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we like that kind of stuff, but I'm not usually a wait in line for the autograph kind of thing. I have heard in the past that the lines for the autograph sessions prior to Teal and White are pretty atrociously long. Mm-hmm. So... Blake, my recommendation, and keep in mind this is coming from a guy that's not super excited about autographs in general, I would skip it, and I might try, and you know, sometimes they go to the Shark store on an afternoon, you know, you hear about stuff like that, you know, Devin Setoguchi signing from like 4 to 6 at the Shark store.
Not anymore.
But if you're looking for an autograph, Blake, I might go that route instead, because you know there's going to be a lot of fans waiting for hockey, excited about hockey, Teal and White, they're going to be stoked about it, and they're going to want to show up at the rink early and wait and see these new characters, you know, Burns and Vandermeer and these guys. So, you know, maybe if you can stand it, you might want to wait a little bit, and you might be rewarded a little bit later. But skating's a good idea, dude. You want to go skating after Teal and White?
No. No. All right, we've got one last email here from Patrick. Patrick says, "Hey dudes, any concern about the team having a healthy returning roster next season? The Sharks were in the Final Four 2 years in a row, and going deep in the playoffs results in a shorter offseason to recover. So what do you think, dude? Should I be worried about the team experience fatigue following extended playoff runs?"
Always a worry. That was certainly, I remember after Detroit seemed to have a bit of a letdown after they went to game 7 and lost to the Penguins in the finals that 1 year. You know, I don't know what to think about that. I think that the offseason is long enough to get these guys back into shape if they do the right things. Mm-hmm. And if they do the right conditioning, certainly that aspect of the game seems to be always getting better. The nutrition aspect of the game especially seems to be improving a lot, with Gary Roberts doing a lot of crazy things nutritionally with players these days and a lot of guys swearing by it. I'm not too concerned about it. You know, one thing that's interesting is that, you know, we mentioned Brent Burns coming in might take some minutes off of Dan Boyle, which might be a good thing. And it seems like the Sharks may be trying to, you know, spread the wealth around a little bit. So that
especially
might,
on the blue line.
That might help a little bit in the fatigue factor. So I guess we're not going to be able to say for sure until later in the year, but I'm not particularly any more concerned this year than I was any other year. You know, and it's not like the Western Conference Finals was a long series. Oh.
Ooh, ouch. Ouch. All right, dude. How'd we do?
Did pretty good, dude. We don't have any more emails or tweets.
No, we're done. Are we in the 50-minute mark?
No,
only 42.
No, not too bad. Not too
all
bad.
Right, dude. Well, we got a lot done. We had some fantasy hockey to throw out there. We'll give you the pertinent information next week for any open spots. And that's all for me, dude.
All right. Me too, dude. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, dude.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.